Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One.
Welcome to Reasonable Doubt. Now, this was originally recorded on Monday, but don't worry. We are going to do a special bonus RD that will literally give you up to the minute, the latest, both on Colin and on Weinstein. Okay, so when it sounds like we're saying goodbye, don't be fooled. Don't turn off the podcast.
The Serial Killer Podcast, hosted by me, Thomas Vyborg Thune, is the podcast dedicated to serial killers, who they were, what they did, and how. Join me as I sit down bi-weekly to bring you, dear listener, into the dark land of serial murder and psychopathy. The show goes into graphic detail on the most infamous and lesser-known serial killers from around the world, with each episode covering one unique serial killer. So far, the show has covered serial killer superstars, such as BTK, Jeffrey Dahmer, and the Yorkshire Ripper, and lesser-known killers, such as Elias Abuelazan and Anatoly Onoprienko. Be advised, this show is not for children, as it takes you deep into the twisted world of ultimate evil. You can find me exclusively at podcastone.com or on the new Podcast One app. Also, don't forget to rate and review on Apple Podcasts.
This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Welcome to the best hour in the universe. Reasonable Doubt. I'm Adam Carolla. I'm excited. Mark Garagus is here.
I'm excited to see you this morning. I really wanted to talk to you. Especially because some guy tweeted at me yesterday that he wasn't going to listen to Reasonable Doubt. And I didn't respond to him anymore because Adam's two friends, Jimmy Kimmel and Mark Garagus, have now gone off the deep end or something to that effect.
It's such a weird world we're living in, which is I don't think I have a conservative view of life. I have an old-fashioned view of life
right.
with many new entries.
Right. Yours and is, it's kind of a, it's an updated, it's like a...
I believe in like, you know, hard work and right. family and which, all the stuff that just, basically, if I was a nutritionist, I'd be the guy who says, don't get your stomach stapled, exercise, watch those calories.
Yeah,
we're going to lose that weight, but right. we're going to have to work.
We're going to move.
And everyone's like, well, whoa, whoa, what about everyone's, we have different metabolisms. People have, some guys have thyroid condition. I go, oh, fine, granted. Let's do some road work. Right. Let's eat some kale. No. But you're not factoring in for everyone's different metabolism. You have this kind of metabolism.
Yes,
you have metabolism privilege.
Right.
And so you don't know what it's like to somebody. Somebody's got a slower metabolism. And I go, granted, there are differences.
Right.
I'm not saying we all have Sly Stallone's metabolism. I'm saying it couldn't hurt to start every morning with a jog and a reasonable breakfast, couldn't it? And they go, well, that's hate speech.
Yeah.
And I go, but what? I'm just a nutritionist. Yeah, but that's racist. I'm not saying anyone's race. I'm just saying we should do some road work. We're all fat. Can we do some road work in the morning and then have a egg white omelet? No.
No. Right?
No. And that's hate speech.
Yeah.
And so that's where it's somehow it's turned into that.
I know.
It's insane to me.
I do not understand it. I was thinking, who better than Jimmy to talk about healthcare, given what he's gone through, right? And why all of a sudden is, and he makes fun, you know, he's an equal opportunity comic. I mean,
yeah, look, there's a couple of things. First off, the reason I spoke to him very recently is because Sonny was at the children's hospital that
right.
his child, Billy, was at. And so I immediately, because he's such a mensch, he immediately starts sending me texts about what do you need, who do you need me to talk to, I know everybody over there, and I just, oh, he's fine. Of course, that was last week, or the week before, and then, it's so funny, that just last night as we taped this, Lynette's like, There's a bike helmet and gloves and elbow pads that are just here, but who are they from? And I'm like, I don't know. There's no label on it or anything. No, they showed up on Friday when we got back from the hospital. I'm like,
oh my God.
I looked at it. I said, oh, that's Jimmy. Jimmy said, I'll send a bunch of stuff over on Friday. He didn't say what. He said, I got a present for Sonny. Yeah. He's the one who's buying my son a helmet. Sad.
Yeah.
But a very sad commentary on Lynette and I as parents that Jimmy has to, in between hosting the Oscars, go out shopping for bike helmets. For my kid. Hey, Jimmy, Natalia needs braces.
Can you put her on a program?
I'll split it with you, but you got to take her to the orthodontist, and when she gets a retainer, I'm not paying for that. So sad. I was just staring at the helmet going, wow, this is a sad tableau. Like this is me and this other adult who are his parents who live in the house. Nobody saw fit to buy the kid a helmet or to procure a helmet, but this had to be sent from the guy who hosts the Oscar.
It's just, I was
talking to him. So, you know, the thing that's weird is I am addicted to AM radio. I love listening to Dennis Prager. I love, first off, now to be fair, all day long, there is no talk on the FM dial.
Right.
Pretty much. So, and I grew up on listening to AM talk personalities, and I love it.
A lot of people don't even know what that is.
No, they call it conservative radio, and most people are conservative. But again, you saying, hey, get a job, fight to keep it, educate your kids, keep the family intact. I don't know when those turned into some crazy right-wing Gestapo, jackbooted thugs. You know, when did that turn into some insane notion?
I don't know.
And then, by the way, if you want to smoke pot, smoke pot. If you want to do it with your husband, who's a man, and you're a man, then go do that.
Right.
Like, those are my thoughts are. Do whatever you want. And then here are the things that are effective. They seem, you know, if the family stays intact, then the kid has 20 times less likely to end up in prison.
Right.
So I don't want people to end up in prison. So my argument is let's keep the family intact. Now, other people's argument is we got to reform the prison system.
Right.
Which is fine, but there's always going to be people who should go to prison. And if they're coming out of the single mom camp versus the intact family camp, then I'd like to do twofold. I'd like to reform the system, fix the breaks in the system, and then cut off the supply of potentially people that could get warehoused.
It's kind of the same the argument, so to speak, for the war on drugs. You know, it's incarcerate, but wait a second here. The reason that we've got it is because there's this huge demand. If you don't deal with the demand, then what the hell are you doing?
Right. And I feel like folks on the left understand that concept. They go, oh, it's not Mexico's fault. It's the rich white kid in Orange County wants to do coke every night.
Exactly.
It's causing it to come over.
Why is Mexico a narco state? It's because we're narco addicted.
Right. So I agree. My it's twofold. Dynamite the tunnels and see if you can get the kid in Orange County
to go do Oxycontin or something. Exactly.
But I have this weird thing now. I have to sit and exchange texts with Jimmy because he's the best guy in the world. He wants to know about Sonny, wants to help out. He's sending over bike helmets and stuff like that. And then I get in the car and I turn on the radio and I hear the AM guy going, these fat cat Hollywood guys, these preachy know-it-all Hollywood guys, these arbiters of morality like Jimmy Kimmel getting up there. Oh, he's crying his brains out when it comes to health care, but not a word over this Harvey Weinstein. You're looking at all this stuff. And I'm like, you don't, oh boy.
I know. This is horrible. It's just, it drives me to distraction. I mean, it really does. It really is an absolute pet peeve of mine.
Well,
that you've got to toe the line, that there's like this, there's ideological purity or there's a litmus test. And both sides do it, by the way. The left does it, the right does it.
And listen, the way this town is shaped and structured is, as I always say, I'm not oversimplifying it when I just go, look, this is a Steelers town. We're not a Baltimore Ravens town. We're a Steelers town. We look no further than George Clooney and Matt Damon. Look, everybody, all the time. I mean, when Hillary Clinton or Obama wants to raise some money, they just come here and Clooney opens one of his homes in Bel Air and they raise $1 billion.
Like everybody does the pilgrimage.
That's the town we're living in.
Right.
And if you have a restaurant, which is a late night show, mm-hmm. and you need a bunch of Steelers to come in and frequent your joint. You don't hang up a bunch of Baltimore Raven banners and explain, walk around in Ray Lewis's jersey and explain the best team ever is the ball. These guys aren't going to wander in.
Yeah.
They're not going to want to wander in. Now, I don't say you have to be, well, he's a secret Baltimore fan, but your job when you do a late night show, wherever you are, is you have to get these people to come do your show.
Right, because you need eyeballs.
You need eyeballs, you need guests. And you
right,
need,
nobody's going to turn it on.
You need two or three guests a night times 4 or 5 days a week. It's
right.
not once a week.
It's a lot of product.
It would behoove you to put on a Steelers jersey. And since you probably might like the Steelers anyway, then it's no harm and no foul.
Exactly.
But that's basically what this town is, which is the same thing that got people not to talk about Harvey Weinstein or whatever, which is ultimately everyone wants to get along. They're just the thing, whether you're Jimmy Kimmel or you're Billy Bush or you're whoever, you just want to get along. You know what I mean? Like,
it's part of human nature.
Donald's talking, you're nodding your head and fake laugh, and let's just get right. home. I want to get home.
I want to get out of here.
Yeah, right. So everyone just wants to get along, and we're not doing a good job of it. And now, Kaepernick.
Yeah.
I got 1,000 tweets. Now, we're taping this on a Monday. And obviously, you guys are hearing it on Saturday. So lots
there's
going to
be a lot that's going on. I mean, I'll give you kind of the summary of what's happened. The NFL invoked confidentiality, although I have no idea what that means. I mean, I think it's kind of humorous that a guy who is, from our viewpoint, being ostracized and blackballed for exercising his First Amendment rights, and now the person wants to further invoke confidentiality about the proceedings which involve the First Amendment.
Well, obviously the NFL, I'm not sympathetic to the NFL in that. There's another interesting thing you're probably going to want to wet your beak with the class action, which is going to be all the concussion stuff. Because they did with the concussions exactly the same as what the cigarette companies did with the smoke and the carcinogens and the dangers and the addiction.
Right.
They said for well into the 80s and even into the 90s, they had doctors saying, no, there is no correlation between cigarettes are not addicting. You know, of course, like getting hit over the head thousands of times with this iron skill is not what got him to kill himself and his family and drive his pickup truck into oncoming traffic at age 51. Like, of course, the fact that people are using one cigarette to light the next cigarette and all standing out on the curb at LAX smoking their brains out before the five-hour flight. Of course it's addicting. I mean, just look around. But they paid doctors, and the doctor said, no, NFL has the same sort of thing. I mean, just up until 2005 or whatever, they had guys going, we've studied the data, we're physicians, and we've seen no correlation between the excessive hits with the helmet and any kind of early onset of dementia or whatever.
You know what's the amazing thing about that also is, and it's one of the reasons, and actually there is a trend in the federal court, which is somewhat helpful, and now has been adopted here in California. But some of these experts are just such fraudsters.
Well, the notion of an expert is it's really like they shouldn't have experts like they shouldn't have lobbyists. Like, I'm going to go out and find a guy with a degree who agrees with me and pay him to use that degree to agree with me in public. And then I've made my case.
Like, and anytime you cross-examine them, I can't think of an expert who's been opposing me in a case who I thought, I mean, it's probably been in the last 10 years who I thought held up. I have never talked to a juror in the last 10 years who said, that expert was great.
They can't. I mean, they mostly don't because it's the relationship is flawed.
Yeah.
If Lynette wanted to get a divorce and I was allowed to go out and pay a therapist to come into the bedroom, explain to her why she was wrong. She wouldn't listen to him because she'd go, "That's just, this guy's holding a bunch of money.
I just told him
to go tell her that, but paid him." And I'd go, "He's a licensed and bonded therapist."
Exactly.
And go,
yeah, but peer reviewed.
He's got a bunch of your money. Yeah, it's inherently flawed. But all right, so Kaepernick.
Okay, right, so we filed under the collective bargaining agreement, which mm-hmm. is unusual to say the least. My thought is I want to move this as quickly as possible because Cap wants to play. And
he's 27, 28,
29. I want to say 29. Somebody did the count for me in the office. Since he was in the Super Bowl, 2013, the Niners.
Yeah, Gary's got to look up some of his stats.
What has that been? That's been 5 years, how many Super Bowls? There have been, you know, he's in pretty elite company. There's only 10 guys who've been to the Super Bowl, or less than 10 guys who've been to the Super Bowl over that period of time, quarterbacks. Under the collective bargaining agreement, we also invoked a particular section which gives us a system arbitrator, and you get expedited discovery, and you get to do a hearing fairly fast. And he wants to play ball. Now, ironically, we filed it yesterday, Sunday, because we're taping this on Monday, and then everybody saw the Aaron Rodgers situation hit, and then San Francisco.
I would sue that linebacker, by the way. 2012 lost a very close game. That's when the Super Bowl. The Aaron Rodgers thing pisses me off. He threw the ball. The guy took 2.5 steps and then planted him.
And collarbone.
I mean, and it's just like, listen, in my world, your starting quarterback on your team has to sit out for 3 games. Like, we can't live in a world where you take premier superstars and end their season over 8-yard passes where the guy got rid of the ball and your linebacker who makes 1/100th of what he makes and no one knows his name takes 2 or 3 steps and then launches and lifts himself and goes dead fish on him and just crunches
him. Planted him. I mean, literally planted him.
All right.
So that, and then you compare that and look at the 49ers. They benched a guy that they had given a 2-year contract to, put in a 3rd-round choice. I forget the guy's name. He's from Iowa, I think. And you just look around the league, and and we've got other evidence.
Well, so there's two. Okay, so to me, there's always a bunch of angles here. So first, right. You go, it's his First Amendment right to participate or not participate or to make a statement or what have you. And then someone else goes, No, the league's privately owned and they mandate this, just like they don't let them do certain kinds of celebrations and wear certain socks or, you know, hey, it's my mother died of breast cancer. I want to wear the pink shoes the next month after the league takes them off. Well, no, you can't.
Right.
And then you go, but I'd like to express myself this way. And they go, sorry, you work here.
Yeah.
You can wear those shoes when you go home.
They didn't have a policy and they still don't. Actually.
Well, they say there wasn't one, and then there's a handbook.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the handbook is.
Right.
In the handbook, it says you need a flag in good working condition.
Right.
And you need to stand there with your right hand and your helmet in your left hand.
And then explain to me why it is that it was okay for the owners to kneel and lock arms 3 weeks ago for that
Look, here's what I believe. I believe the owners are a bunch of old, rich, white guys, and they got a bunch of 20-something-year-old black guys, 70%, right, on their team. And their job is to get along. Like, they can't have mutiny on the bounty. They want whatever it is. Jerry Jones doesn't want to take a knee, but he also is.
I know. I was going to say, can you imagine Jerry Jones taking a knee?
No, but
he knows.
You know, 10 out of the 11 guys on the defensive side of the ball and 8 out of 11 on the offensive side of the ball are black, and he needs those guys to go out in a good mood and perform for him. He's going to do what he's going to do. And then, so that's what Jerry wants. Then Jerry comes back and finds out people are getting miffed. They don't like it. The viewership has dropped off, or some of the advertisers are pulling back. Okay, well, guess what Jerry cares about more than the black guys being miffed? Budweiser pulling out. So then he goes, all right, screw it. Now we're all going to stand. So to say that Jerry Jones is this guy or that guy, he's just a guy.
He's not.
He wants money.
He wants his money.
He wants to in his world, he could have everyone sit in the Lotus position as long as Budweiser didn't pull out. and the ratings were good. But if the ratings start being affected and Budweiser pulls out, then he needs everyone to stand up, put the right hand over heart. But where does he stand morally? He doesn't stand morally. He's just wants, he's got a great business and he wants to keep it going.
Plus, I think there's, you know, the message got hijacked, and skillfully so. I mean, the protest was not against the flag or first responders or the military. So I don't know how it got morphed into
that. Each side now, as we as this world unfolds and we head into the abyss, each world simply just takes whatever sort of croutons that they're left with and turn it into a 7-course meal.
Yeah.
And we'll just shape it and we'll steer it. And obviously, if you can evoke the military, the fighting men,
right,
you know, and then all of a sudden, what happens is you go, I'm all for his right to take a knee. He can express himself any way he'd like to. And if he doesn't want to face the flag, he doesn't have to face the flag. But I had to face that flag when it was draped over the coffin of my son. And that thing got off the C-130. And that same flag, that was over my son's coffin. And if you want to disrespect my son, well, then this is the way. And now all of a sudden you start going, oh, well, I don't want to disrespect any dad whose son comes home in a body bag with a flag on it. Like, it's easy.
Right, it's an easy turn that they make. I mean, that's kind of what, you know, it's interesting in the criminal justice system when they started having the Victim's Bill of Rights, which I always thought, and they made it constitutional and it kind of ran through the country. And obviously, it's part of the pendulum swing. I mean, there was, during the 50s, there was the Warren Court, Chief Justice Warren, and it swung one way, and then it swings back under Berger. And one of the things they did was to label anybody who came into the courtroom who was a complaining witness. They were transformed into a victim. So mm-hmm. you already wore the mantle of victim,
right,
as you came in. And so it was always the defendant, and that's a great way. When you say defendant,
right,
that's a great way to strip somebody of their humanity and just kind of, you know.
Now, the verbiage is great.
Right, right?
Both sides. Like,
right.
Hobby Lobby's denying their employees access to birth control. Like, how's that work? When they go to the CVS pharmacy, right, someone from Hobby Lobby's dispatched to tackle the young lady? No, they're not providing it for free.
Right.
They're all, you know, unless they're denying them access to lunch.
Right.
If they have to go to Quiznos and pay for their own sandwich, then by your definition, they're denying them access to hoagies.
Right. But I mean, it's just, and access. That's what each side does. It drives
it doesn't make any sense. They're not denied access. You're not denied access to a Rolls Royce or a Toyota. If you want to go buy one, go buy one. Hobby Lobby doesn't have to buy it for you. All right, that's fine.
But you know,
right,
know what you do, by the way? What you do when you when you're a business owner? You consult with LegalZoom.
Ah, the best.
The best, right?
The best.
Because as a business owner, it's important to keep moving forward. But things come up that take your time and focus. I think that's true. When it comes to reviewing contracts, registering trademarks, staying current on fees and permits, LegalZoom.com can help. It was created 16 years ago. I think it's almost 17 years now, by some of the brightest minds in law and technology. It's helped more than 2 million business owners navigate the legal system with confidence. Never worry about the evil billable hour again piling up. LegalZoom is not a law firm. Get answers to your business questions at fixed rates. Isn't that amazing? Fixed rates. You know exactly how much it's going to cost you. And they have a nationwide network of independent attorneys as well. Isn't that right, Gary?
That is right. Take some pressure off yourself. Go to LegalZoom.com now to take care of your business before the year winds down. For special savings, be sure to enter code DOUBT in the referral box at checkout. That's code DOUBT for special savings only at LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom.com.
So, right, you know, I was going to pivot for a second because it's kind of interesting to me. On Harvey Weinstein and his flotilla of lawyers who keep coming and going.
Can I ask this?
Yes. Yeah.
I got a lot on Weinstein, but I do feel like I want to finish with Kaepernick
okay.
here. All right. So I will be completely transparent. I don't like the take a knee.
Right.
It's consistent not, with my old fashioned theory, which
I think
is,
it's because you got a podcast.
No. The Take a Knee podcast. Yeah. No, I here's what I feel like. I feel like there's some bad cops out there, there's some bad people out there, and there's always, you know, racist. There's always somebody out there. I don't like the narrative of systemic racism. I don't like the idea of painting this picture of one of the freest, openest, least racist, multicultural societies that's ever been created being racist. I don't like 9-year-old black boys growing up thinking they're in this environment. When I hear stories like Sandra Bullock, she adopted a guy, a little kid from Africa, and she, you know, when he's old enough, she's going to have to sit down and explain from behind her triple gated community what kind of society we really live in and how there's a target on his back. I'm like, you're going to make this kid miserable. How about you tell him no playing field could ever be completely level, but you got to just go out there and do. And by the way, if a cop tells you to something, just do it and we'll sue him later. But right. it'll save you from getting shot. That's my general principle. Now, my other thought is if you want to take a knee, you should be able to take a knee. Then I circle back to, but I don't know if you need to express yourself when you're at work. Then if I go, but if somebody owns, if you're on the job, then there's rules in terms of uniforms. You can't have your shirt untucked or you used to have to do this. And that a million one rules. Right. Well, then this is just one more rule that you have to comply with while you're here. And then you get to go do whatever when you're outside of it. Then I shift again and I go, yeah, but if people were conspiring to keep that person out of work, and that's kind of the smoking gun for me. It's the conspiring.
Right,
if somebody said, if you're the owner of the 49ers or you're the owner of arguably a team that could use him, let's say, and somebody said Kaepernick, and you said to yourself, well, I think he has ability and we could use a quarterback. On the other hand, I don't want to bring turmoil to this team. I don't want to bring distraction to this team or the fans, or I'm a business owner. I feel like I'm going to lose some money if I do this because I could alienate my fan base or whatever it is. Then I want that guy to be able to say that the same way Terrell Owens was a head case, and he was one of the greatest physically gifted guys in the world. He'd just go from team to team to team. Now, he would go to team. That's
right.
Your argument.
Exactly.
Because he was a gifted player. But I bet there were many teams that said, yes, he's physically gifted. Yes, he's got a couple more years in the league. I don't want to bring this distraction to my team because it's a very important thing.
If Al Davis was still alive, there's no doubt in my mind that Colin Kaepernick would be employed.
Right. There's no doubt.
Right.
So I want him to – I want the team owner to go, the guy's good, but he's a head case. Or the guy's good, but he's going to kneel and he's going to bring it. It's going to be a distraction. And I just don't want that. I don't want that. And I want him to be able to say that. Now, what I don't want is Roger Goodell to write an email to all the owners and say, if anyone hires this guy, you're going to lose a lot of. You're not going to get that stadium built in 2021 or whatever it is. Now, that's a big smoking gun and that's a big crossing of the line.
Yeah, because there's no way, and I won't get into the evidence of it, but there isn't a single person, I think, who seriously follows NFL football or who is not involved with NFL football who will tell you there's 65 quarterbacks around that are better than him.
No, there isn't. It's a little tough to quantify. Like, you can't do it in... You would have a hard time sort of winning a case saying, come on, this guy's better than this guy, or the guy you started wasn't better than that guy. It's a little tough because you can't really just break it down.
Right.
But, and there are numbers that are attached to it, and you go, threw this many picks, and he had
right.
this, and he would
what's
be...
What's a touchdown to interception ratio,
right,
and things
right.
like that.
Right, but you would be hard-pressed, I think, as an attorney... to make the case that the coach, because they're allowed to have 1,000 different reasons, and they do all the time. I mean, they you know, Tom Brady goes 227 in the draft, you know what I mean? And they take Ryan Leaf before this guy, you know, and it's a head case and it's a bust. They make bad decisions all the time. He may be thinking in my heart, I don't want this black guy on my team causing distractions. He could say on the stand, I didn't think he fit our offensive scheme. And you couldn't really do that.
Right. That would be more like the Barry Bonds baseball collusion case, because they didn't have anything, as I understand it. Barry Bonds sued Major League Baseball. And when I say sued, he also went the collective bargaining route, and they didn't have a smoking gun, so to speak. So you need the smoking gun.
So,
or you need that piece of evidence that shows that there was collusion.
Right. So it now with quarterbacks dropping left and right.
Yeah, yesterday was a horrible day for quarterbacks.
Great day for a client.
Yeah.
Your kid is a little voodoo doll. Putting it in the collarbone of Aaron Rodgers.
That was a horrific, hit.
Then it stands to reason. Okay, this guy's in good shape. He's a great athlete. You know, when he's playing great, he's playing great.
I've seen him three times, I think, in the last 10 days, and to my untrained eye, he's in phenomenal shape, and he works out like a banshee.
When his game is on, is a real unstoppable player. And then to anyone else's argument, he came back and had some tough seasons. So obviously, it's a little more cut and drive. The guy's coming off of a winning season or throwing a Super Bowl touchdown, and they go, he just got cut when he took a knee. Like, this makes no sense. The argument against your argument is, well, he did have his last couple weren't nearly like his first couple.
Except now, look, has San Francisco won a game this year?
No.
49ers, have they won a game?
Yeah, it's... I don't think they've won a game.
I mean, it's not exactly a...
These are all... Like, I remember I was watching a TV show, and they're like, we're going to sue. The ACLU is going to sue because this guy needs to be in the league because he would be ranked number 16 and there's 32 teams or whatever it is. And I just remember watching it going, I'm sure this is what's going on, but you can't make that stick.
Yeah, so interesting thing it will be when the discovery comes, I expect the discovery to be very quickly, you can't erase stuff anymore like you used to be able to. Text,
right.
The text, emails, things of that nature.
0-6.
Yeah, they're 0-6. The 49ers are 0-6.
They're facing the Cowboys next, so yeah. Could be 0-7.
And by the way, who's the guy that they just promoted to during the game yesterday? The out of Iowa?
Yeah, I'm looking right now. Hold on 1 second.
It's all bad, but it's all still sort of he said, she said. I mean, it's a little more than that, but it's not. I feel like legally, it's just going to be hard to go, come on, this guy sucks, and my guy's over here sitting at home on Sundays.
Well, having done
CJ Beathard.
Yeah, CJ Beathard. Because that related to Bobby Beathard.
But you want.
Yeah,
what you need is the email from the owners to get from Goodell to the owners. You need that smoking gun of the don't hire this guy.
Yeah, we have very good reason to believe that that exists.
Well, look, I would make the argument sort of with my concussion argument with the NFL or, you know, RJ Reynolds or whatever it is,
right.
Which is let's do a reverse engineer on this. Let's just say client Kaepernick was Tim Tebow.
Didn't Tim Tebow kneel and pray?
Yes.
During the anthem?
Ironically. So maybe a horrible example, but maybe the best. No, he would do it in the end zone. I don't know if he did it during the national anthem. I think he'd do it in the end zone or before or after. But the squeaky white virgin,
right?
You know, poster child for morality,
right? Who kept getting job after job?
It appears he did kneel before a game on the sidelines,
but not while the anthem was playing.
I'm checking.
Let's keep this out of. I may have won you the case. Here's all I'm saying. You can say, or they can say, look, he didn't fit the offensive scheme, or we had a young backup quarterback that we wanted to give reps to, or and at times, is there 32 teams?
Yeah.
Times 32 teams. One question and one question only. Remove Colin Kaepernick, remove the socks with the pigs on it, remove the big afro, remove the taking a knee, and just replace his attitude, his background, and his stance toward the flag with Tim Tebow and his physical ability and history in the NFL. Would he be picked up by one of those 32 teams? If the answer is, of course, there'd be seven teams fighting over him.
Exactly.
Then maybe we have our answer.
Yeah. I mean, I think the inescapable conclusion. There's no way. And, you know, it's amazing to me how this afro drives people crazy. It drives people nuts. You should see some of the – I got some guy who left a voicemail. I should have brought it with me and had Gary play it. A kind of a death threat on the voicemail this morning. And it was all about the afro. I've never seen any somebody's hair. I wish I had that kind of hair.
I could do it with my hair.
You've got a good head of hair.
But even with my Tim Tebow example, you could still walk to every team individually times 32 and everyone could just go, no, I never thought about the ramifications politically or socially. I never thought about any of that. We just don't physically need him on our team. You'd know they were lying, but you can do it. So now you need a piece of paper.
Or a cross-examination.
A cross-examination, like a smoking gun, a meeting that took place, a phone call where Goodell called the owner and said, made some sort of veiled, you know, if you're thinking about Kaepernick, I might think about going another direction because, you know, you got the stadium coming up in a few years. And we definitely want to.
The, you know, TV money.
Yeah. Now, you almost have to find some version of that.
Maybe by the time this airs, I will have navigated the confidentiality. But I know exactly what needs to be shown. I know what the standard is, and I've done a ton of these conspiracy cases in the criminal context in federal court, not so much in the state court. And conspiracy, there are some pretty good rules of evidence that allow you to prove a conspiracy, and federal rules generally apply in these things. So under the federal rules, overt acts, things that happen even if you didn't know, you can be part of the what's called the hub of the conspiracy. They talk about that in all the case law of it. So it's a pretty – you don't have – each guy does not have to know the total terrain of the conspiracy, so to speak. As long as there is an object of the conspiracy, that is the definition of what needs to be proved.
Right.
And here the object is clearly that he's not going to be allowed into the league.
Well, then who? Now, San Francisco was probably the most progressive city and has the most players taking a knee and so on and so forth. So
even seven yesterday.
Right.
I think.
So you take Dallas and you go, well, that's a bad fit. They don't need a quarterback.
They don't need a quarterback.
Dallas.
Right.
Right. But you take San Francisco. But now you get into this weird zone of can you force a team to claim a player that they formerly didn't want to claim?
Well, I don't think that you can. You can't.
How does he get
somebody,
back on the field?
I think the only way that he gets back on the field is somebody has the guts to stand up and say, we're not going to go along with this kind of code of silence, so to speak.
You know, what this could very well turn into is the teams that shunned him because they didn't want the negative publicity after some particulars come out of the case could then take him to claim their sort of mantle as being heroes. They could actually get the opposite of what they were trying to avoid by taking him.
Right.
So I believe if you proved that there was some collusion amongst the owners and the management and the NFL to blackball this guy, and then people found out about that, you'd have many people outraged by that. And then San Francisco the managers and owners of San Francisco would then become de facto sort of heroes by bringing him back on the team.
I think in a heartbeat. That's why I said Al Davis. If Al Davis was still alive, he's up in the Bay Area with the Oakland Raiders. I mean, to me, it would be a no-brainer for him. I mean, that would have been his the way you articulated it would be, to my mind, exactly what he would have thought and done.
How's Kaepernick as an individual?
He's really one of the most stand-up guys. I really like him a lot, and I love Nessa. She's phenomenal. I mean, they're just...
That's his wife?
It's his wife. I mean, he was raised in Turlock, California, which is not exactly a hotbed of radicalism. And
he has a white mom and a black dad, or is it mixed?
He was raised by this family in Turlock, and that's his mom and dad.
Oh, so he's mixed, and he was raised by a separate family.
Correct.
White family or black family?
White.
Okay. So raised in Turlock and raised by this family. And
really a genuinely thoughtful, respectful. There's nothing incendiary about him in person, and I know that for a lot of people find that hard to believe, but he's a quality individual. I meant it when I said yesterday in the statement that we're proud to represent him. I mean, I've met him, I've talked to him, I spent a lot of time with him, and I enjoy him quite a bit.
Can the NFL, is there a easy out for the NFL?
Yeah, there is. I'm not going to give it to him over the air right now, but yes, there is an easy out.
And that could involve some money.
That could involve getting on the field. He wants to put him on the
getting on the field.
Yeah,
but listen,
he wants to play.
I get it, but you want to get paid, so
I
want both of you to be happy. And the good news is whenever we talk about, hey, the cop shot that guy in the back when he was on his own property, and all he was holding was a sprayer from the garden hose. What's that worth? And you go, hey, he was a janitor, so. $300,000
Right.
And got the guy had three kids. Yeah, but he only best year was $39,000, you know. And so sadly that's a factor.
Yeah.
When you're talking about compensation, we want to know what the guy made.
Yeah.
Before.
I think it's public knowledge that last 2016 was $16 million.
So if you keep the janitor off the field for a year,
right,
that's about $40,000.
Yeah,
you keep him off the field for a year or two. That's a different price.
That's a much. It's a larger number. There's also the ramifications if collusion is proven to the collective bargaining agreement.
Sure.
And most people will tell you that the NFL's current collective bargaining agreement is the worst in major leagues.
Yeah.
Of any league. But
so
while they're telling you that, you know what I'm going to talk about for a second? Because I got my box finally last week. Thank you, Gary. Tommy John.
Oh,
awkward underwear adjustments.
Just got mine.
Yeah, they've been plaguing guys for decades. One company is putting an end to the adjustment epidemic once and for all. Tommy John, 21st century men's underwear, crafted with ultralight, breathable fabrics that move with you. The shirts are really incredible, and they've also got. Have you gotten the pajama style bottoms?
No, I got the underpants.
Those
I got the
awesome.
Socks, yeah. And I got the t-shirt.
The socks are amazing too. Never any riding up. You wear them every day. I love them. These undershirts are really super soft, and they never come untucked. The socks, as I mentioned, have that stay-up technology. They never roll down. And all are backed by the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. So you basically got nothing to lose. That's kind of like a contingency lawyer of the underwear world. Right, Gary?
Absolutely. Hurry to TommyJohn.com now and use code Adam to get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com, code Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com, code Adam.
All right. So just to bundle it up and move on to Weinstein, I don't like the take a knee crap at all. And I'm perfectly willing to have teams go, I don't want to hire this guy because of the take a knee crap that I don't agree with and I don't want to deal with. But if the message comes down from up high that you may want to hire this guy, and maybe you agree or disagree with it, but you need a good backup quarterback or you need a good starting quarterback, and you will be punished if you do, then I don't like that. So we will find all of this out, hopefully.
We will find all of that out, and I think I've made great progress today letting you vent on this, because you've gone back and forth.
I have a negative posture to anything that does a paint us as this horrible society when I think we live in a great and open society. But on the other hand, nobody wants the grand poobah telling 32 teams what to do or else.
In a smoke-filled room.
Yes, I don't like that. All right, exactly. So now we go to Weinstein.
Okay.
Now, so. I was having this discussion a couple days ago while walking with Mike August, who actually, believe it or not, was an attorney, through the streets of Minneapolis on our way to Kramer Chuck's, the Polish joint that we always eat at when we're in, because you can't get the good schnitzel and the brats and the sour. You can't find goddamn sauerkraut in all of L.A.
I know.
But there's 1,000 Indian joints and 1,000 like Thai joints where I can't get some good kraut and schnitzel and potatoes and all pierogies. It's the best.
There used to be a place in downtown, and they went out of business.
It was awesome. But anyway. We're talking about Weinstein, and I said, well, I think if I was Weinstein, I would go to Europe and I would wait to hear what's going on, because I feel like there's going to be cases and they're going to come up, and then he's not going to be able to go anywhere, and then his life could pretty much be altered in a grand fashion. I'm not just talking about divorce. I'm talking about sitting in a prison cell.
Well, now he's got, since the last time we talked about this, it's now come to light. I poo-pooed the idea of the London investigation, but because that was a 1980s allegation. But now they've apparently got, if you believe what's in the news, a 2015 allegation. That may be why Europe is no longer a safe place, because now you've got New York and London. So he's rapidly looking at, I think it's Armenia, and then there's one Central American country.
Oh, Glendale.
That doesn't have an extradition treaty.
Well, so France isn't going to take him back to the United States, but will France give him over to England?
Well, I think France is trying right now. Macron, I saw, was trying to strip him of his honor.
Exactly. So they're putting it out there in the media that they are not happy with him.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they'd send him back, but they're not being welcoming by any stretch of the imagination.
And I don't think that they would have – I think France to the U.S. is different than – France to England would be my guess. I'd have to do some research on that. But I think politically as well, I don't think France would get into a fight with a public spat with England over Harvey Weinstein at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy has gone from 0 to 60 in toxicity faster than virtually anybody I think I've ever seen in recent memory.
Well, this is basically... like, if you ever go to a place where they package things and you see all those packing peanuts that they put into the box when they sell you a clock alarm or whatever, they're all in one big hopper at the top, one big mesh net hopper. And the guy's at the bottom, and it's like he just popped that last stitch. And it's not like two fall out and then it self-seals. It's either closed or it's open. When it's open, when you pop that last stitch, the whole and it's an avalanche of peanuts
exactly
at that point. And it's not like, well, two fell out, then it just stopped, and then 9 months went by and one fell out. No. It either goes or it doesn't go.
And boy, does it go. And when Woody Allen comes out and starts getting into the fray, that tells you where all you need to know.
And I always say, it's always the specifics. Yeah. You know, when you say what happened, we were at a restaurant and then he took me on a tour down to the kitchen and then he asked to kiss me and I said no. And then he blocked the door and then he pulled out his dork and then he beat off into a ficus plant. Like, that's way too specific and weird. And then also, as I was... saying to Lynette this morning, it's a good time for the guys who haven't been cheating to try to get a little couple of data boys for not engaging in this behavior. I said, if somebody I've worked with, I've worked in this town for 25 years. There's always writers and segment producers. They're all female. Every segment producer is a female on the staff, and oftentimes young and could be attractive and stuff like that. If somebody came out and said, yeah, we were at a restaurant, and Adam walked me downstairs, and he beat off into a potted plant while he blocked the door, I'd be like, who is this? And I'm suing. Now, first call be to you.
Right.
And then the second one would be her, because I'm suing her ass because I don't know what the fuck she's talking about. I wouldn't be, well, look, everyone's entitled to their opinion. would not be that. It would not be that.
Well, I think he started with that. And then it just, as you said, the styrofoam peanuts just started rolling.
Well, how about the fact that it's in his contract that they have to back out whatever settlement money he has with B actress du jour? That's coming out of his salary. If you got to pay her $150,000, that's coming off of your end. We're not whacking that up with the family.
Exactly.
How about just the fact that there's a contract? I mean, you want to talk about a smoking gun.
I think that is why, as it's being reported this morning, that they've got to sell the company. I mean, the company just, I don't think can sustain this. I mean, first of all of the board of directors, save one, resigned. His own brother has tried to give a pep talk, apparently, to the employees. At a certain point, I think they realize that the name is toxic at this point. And so they're going to have to just readjust. You're going to have to reconfigure it or sell it, get a cash infusion, and go from there.
Now, hearing what you've heard, and it's early in the week, again, that stuff comes out. And look, it's going to come out because forget about womanizing. Let's just say it's eating pizza. You love pizza. So we got one shot of you eating a slice in Greenwich Village. You can say that's the only slice I've ever had. But we all know you like pizza. This is your thing. And we've let you go for 30 years. Believe me, there's going to be some other Italian restaurant owners and pictures coming.
This guy used to come in and always get my pizza.
It's going to come up because that's what you do. I mean, it's not a one and done thing. This is what he does. Now, the question is, when did it turn, or has it turned into rape versus I need you to watch me do my thing into this potted plant, which people can argue it's disgusting, but it might not fit the definition of rape.
Yeah, and so that's why the statute of limitations issue becomes so important, because the long statute of limitations, in fact, almost no statute of limitations, at least in New York, it has to be a sex act. It's not going to be a butt grab or a tit grab or a jacking off into a plant, although that's lewd conduct. It has to be a sexual act that fits under the statute that prescribes it as criminal, and then also says there is no statute of limitations.
Now, what do you think chances are that he's going to see any time from this?
I think he's got major, major problems. And that's why the first approach made no sense to me. I think that the way this is being reported now is that he's lawyered up and he's listening more to his criminal lawyers, which is what he should have been doing in the first place, because he's in jeopardy. And not the least of which, when you've got this feeding frenzy of accusations, that gives wind at the back of most prosecutors. I mean, a prosecutor, you know, in most jurisdictions are elected.
Well, he needs, he's got a bunch of real problems. My feeling is, even if there isn't any one victim that says, you know, he threw me on the bed, he tore my blouse off, he held a knife to my throat, if you don't get that victim, he's still the poster child for everything that's wrong with men in Hollywood. And
geez, you can't even joke about him. Did you see what happened to Al Michaels? Al Michaels said the Giants are having a worse week than Harvey Weinstein. And
Oh, that's funny.
I thought it was kind of humorous. I watched it, and they apparently forced him to apologize. I can't say anything anymore. I mean, isn't that a fair game? And then what's his name? James Corden apparently got groaned out of whatever place he was because he was an MC at some event in on the West Side and telling Weinstein jokes.
Can I tell you this as a guy who's been on that end of it a long time? You're almost obligated to address what's going on that week. I mean, obviously, if Trump announces on Thursday we're starting construction of the wall and it's all over the place and there's 1,000 different protests and everything else and interviews and migrant families, if you're doing a gig Friday night, you got to open with some sort of wall talk.
Right.
And you can, because everyone will go, you'll make a joke about Trump's goofy hair and then everyone will clap and laugh and that'll be that. This is really no different. You can't just pick and choose the subject matter. It's
well,
like everyone's
also,
talking about this, so that's how you have to open it.
And also talk about the almost institutional hypocrisy. On one hand, people are getting slammed. Late night hosts are getting slammed for not making jokes fast enough. Saturday Night
well,
Live was getting
true.
Slammed for
right.
not making the joke. Then when you make the joke, it's too soon.
Right.
And they're slamming Al Michaels for making the joke and then slamming James Corden for making the joke. It's like you almost get dizzy being spun around in so many different directions. Pick a side. What is it? What is it? Is there a 72-hour waiting period? It's like buying a gun. You can't tell a joke for 72 hours.
So what do we think? And yeah, so the problem is you never want to be the example. Like you never want to be the last 10 officers in this town that shot an unarmed black man walked and you're the 11th and there's fires outside of the courtroom. You never want to be that guy. Cause I just feel like they're going to go, look, we don't have as much as we had on the second guy, but they weren't riding.
Yep.
Now
I gotta
make an example of you. Otherwise.
Right. Otherwise and that's kind of where we are. I mean, that's why I say it's the wind at the back of some prosecutor who's going to.
Right.
If I were laying odds, and I hate to do this, but, I think New York is a particularly vulnerable jurisdiction for him. They got so much, the DA there got so much heat for actually doing what I think was the right thing, although prosecutors disagree with me. Some prosecutors have said publicly that they would in fact have prosecuted on that tape. I look at that tape from my prism of defense. I just didn't think there was.
It didn't feel like, I mean, look, as a former prosecutor, rear
right.
admiral, adjunct, attorney, professor of law at Loyola Marymount University, I can tell you, there wasn't enough there.
That would just
it just wasn't
right.
much
it
there.
It just wasn't, to me, that wasn't something that a prosecutor.
He says, you squeezed my breasts. He says there was something on a shirt,
yeah.
You know. But you admitted to it. I was trying to just move it along. I didn't
exactly.
want to break it off and have an argument about what was stuck to her sweater. Sorry. Moving on. I was trying to get her in the bathroom, and then I wasn't going to touch her.
Right.
You know, she's going to watch me take a shower. I don't know. You ever walked in on your kids taking a shower? All right. Same difference. So I didn't feel like I agree with you. I didn't feel like there was
much
there.
I just didn't think it was much there on that tape. But having said that, the cops and the DA now are going to scour every person who's made a complaint or who comes forward.
Last question for the great Mark Garagus. If you have a guy like Weinstein and here he's your client. And I'm still open to the possibility of him being your client. You could be the most hated man in Hollywood. You're like top three most hated, but
exactly.
I
try harder.
You're on the podium,
uh-huh.
but you're not on the top rung. I want you to go for that brass ring and be the most. All right, so maybe you could reopen the Scott Peterson thing
exactly.
and take on
Cosby
and Weinstein.
Right.
All right, if you're his attorney, and you tell me this is how it works. I feel like I sit down with him and I go, look, I need to know if there's something out there. I need to know if you did something in the last 10 years or whatever statute of limitations are, California, New York, or wherever we may want to do this. And if there's somebody that's prominent or somebody that you feel there's a lot more than, hey, take a look at me in the shower. But I'm talking about, I don't want something dropped on me while I'm preparing for the X, Y, and Z over here. I don't want this dropped in 3 weeks. So what do you got? Like, give me your, air some laundry, or how does that work?
I think it's always, if the case has already been filed and the client comes to me post-arrest, I generally do not ask that up front.
No, but nothing's been filed yet.
Nothing's been filed yet. In that situation, when I start seeing reports that talk about 2015, meaning that year, and 2011, that gives me grave concern, because both of those arguably are within the statute of limitations. So I want to figure out who that is. And I'm probably going to take already a look at whatever settlements have been made and then try to put it together.
And you're going to triangulate that, going, well, if this settlement was made in 2015.
Exactly.
And then the person we're talking about here.
Exactly. And then tell me what happened. Where was it? And then let's start doing some stuff. And let's start doing a parallel investigation. Because, yes, you absolutely need to do a parallel investigation. Because at some point, you want to at least have the ability to go into the prosecutor and try and talk them out of filing a case. I mean, I've done that on a number of occasions, too many to count, where the parallel investigation will show or develop evidence that I can talk to a prosecutor and try to talk them out of filing the case, especially in a high-profile situation.
All right, so Nostragergos, predictions.
New York is the odds-on favorite. Trailing behind is London.
And
California, I haven't seen or gotten the feeling that there's any jeopardy here.
Real good chance he sees the inside of a courtroom. What are the chances he sees the inside of a cell?
The inside of a courtroom are pretty good. I've got he's going to see.
Those are good.
Those are
good. What do you think on cell?
I couldn't, until I know more about the facts, I couldn't tell you.
Okay. And what about Kaepernick seeing the inside of an NFL locker room?
I think that's pretty good. I think you're going to see it.
So
I really do.
Kaepernick.
I'm the eternal optimist.
Kaepernick plays and Harvey sees the inside of a.
Harvey gets played.
That's the predictions from. Nostragergos. Here's his prediction. He can see the future. He's going to be haggling over a falafel. That's the future for Nostragergos. All right. Let me tell you about a real estate and wealth expo that's coming to Los Angeles 2 days, November 4th and 5th at the LA Convention Center. Tony Robbins is going to be there. He's doing a 3-hour special sales and peak performance training.
I saw this billboard. Right, Pitbull?
Yeah.
You're there?
Magic Johnson. I'm going to interview Sylvester Stallone for this event. I mean, on stage.
I'm actually going to go to this. Where is this?
This is at the Los Angeles Convention Center. I got to tell you, I walked into Sonny's room yesterday. He's convalescing, although it's hard to tell because he's always convalescing. So right. I can't tell if he's on the mend or this is just a Sunday and he's reclining. It's hard to tell around the house who's actually convalescing or who's just horizontal. But anyway, he's watching Rocky III.
Wow.
He's going out of his mind. And I said, guess who's going to be interviewing Sly for the upcoming Wealth Expo? And he goes, who's Sly? And I said, oh, Jesus. Sylvester Stallone. He said, your dad is. I'm going to be up on stage with him asking him questions. And he went, can I go? Can we get backstage? I said, absolutely. So Susie Orman's going to be there. I'm going to be there. Stallone, and we're talking about Magic Johnson. And we're all going to be talking about how to make money in the business and all that kind of stuff. And they got entrepreneurs. And I said, Pitbull's going to be there as well. Use the coupon code Adam. You get tickets that are usually $149 for just $49. And the ticket is good for both days.
Wow.
This is something that pays for itself. You absolutely can make money on this. So it'll sell out. It always sells out. So give them a call, 1-800-554-7474, or go to realestatewealthexpo.com. Once again, 800-554-7474, or go to Real Estate Wealth Expo. Use the coupon code Adam and save $100. So tell them you heard it here and save, or for me, and save $100. All right, Bakersfield Tembler Brewing Company, that's coming up this Thursday. Come on out and say hi. We're doing a live pod out there. And then Sunday, November 12th, Oxnard, Levity Live. We're doing a live podcast out there. It's always a good time. Me and Dennis Prager, New York and Brooklyn will be, King's Theater. That's coming up November 29th. You go to Chassis and see all the movies and go to amcroll.com and get some merch. And what do you got, Mark?
I got V Palm Springs. I got Casa Clemente. And
Casa Tropicana
at San Clemente, where Gary loves, right there by the pier. Nice. 10E Restaurant, Mediterranean Tapas, Engine Company 28, and Prova Pizza Bar in Grand Central Station.
So, till next time, Adam Kroll from Mark Garagus saying mahalo.
So, the latest right now, let's give you up to date first on Weinstein. What do you think, Gary? You want to talk about Weinstein first?
Well, he's being investigated by the LAPD now, and there's a chick who's accusing him of rape, and she went to a lawyer who strikes me as someone who desperately wants to be you.
He put it up on the website immediately.
He sure did.
I know Mr. Ring, and sometimes discretion is the better part of valor, but we'll see what happens. The problem with sometimes doing that is sometimes you step on your client's case a little bit, and that's a real problem. And
well, the LAPD is already saying that they're concerned that she went straight to the media.
Right, and that's exactly what happens with and I know LAPD, because then the last thing you want from their standpoint, especially when it's handled by the LAPD, usually it's the sex crimes unit downtown, or robbery homicide sometimes takes these cases as well. They've got a majors division there. The last thing that they want is to have to deal with the media frenzy, and sometimes that's not a good thing. Okay, now now he's fighting on three fronts. He's fighting West Coast, L.A., he's fighting East Coast, New York, and Transcontinental. He's fighting in London as well. So he's got three fronts opened. You know, the reports about him being an inpatient, apparently the latest is that now he's outpatient. TMZ has run some stuff and others, but I really think he needs to focus first and foremost on the legal jeopardy at this point.
Well, a few minutes ago, as these podcast fans are listening, you gave your Nostra Garagos predictions, and if memory serves, it was Monday, you said that London might be his biggest liability. Is that what you said?
I think London is a problem because it's 2015. London does not have the same concerns that LAPD has here. And New York has always struck me as a expansive statute of limitations. But the problem is that the one case is fairly old, and they're already tend to be making excuses for it. So we'll see. I mean, it's tough. The predictions I made was I think that Colin will be on the field.
Absolutely.
And I'm getting more and more sure of that as as each day goes by. I will tell you, this week after we made the statement what Jed York, who is the CEO of the 49ers, came out this week and said that the owners should not be intimidated by Trump's angry tweets or the president's angry tweets. And then he came out and said, but he doesn't. The next day after I publicly said, well, that tends to show me that maybe there is collusion. You know, it leads you to believe there's collusion if they're responding to it. And then he came out the next day and kind of a tit for tat to my comments.
So unfortunately, I didn't know this information when we were recording, so I wasn't able to bring it up and get you and Ace's take. But you sent me an article later in the week where it outlined the specific part of the CBA and the specific language that you're focused on in terms of finding the collusion. And correct me if I'm wrong, but the way I read it, it sounds like two guys who work in the locker room cleaning staff, if they're having a conversation at lunch about Kaepernick not being able to be on the team, that's a problem. The broadness of the
it's expansive.
The rules,
that's
crazy.
What, right, when I see, sometimes I just want to tear what little hair I have on the head out when I see legal commentators say, oh, this is this uphill battle, it's that uphill battle. Guys, the conspiracy statute in federal court has is much tougher than the collusion standard in the CBA, which is the collective bargaining agreement. And they every day federal prosecutors are able to prove conspiracy. And so I do not think it's as uphill a battle as people make it out to be. In fact, I think it's fairly obvious at this point that
there has been collusion, and that, but I don't need to sit here and litigate it so much as let's see what happens on Sunday in the quarterback situation and whether somebody signs him. I still have a pretty good feeling somebody's going
to
sign him.
It's a pretty elite fraternity, but that fraternity seems to have a lot of guys going down lately. So
and
eventually,
a lot of guys not performing, you know, at the level that I think Colin performs at. And, you know, also this week, since we taped on Monday, they had the owners and the players met in New York and then released what I think I have characterized as a rather mealy-mouthed statement about they made, you know, they had a good discussion or something like that. Reportedly, Eric Reed, I think, reported, who's a player on the 49ers and a friend of Colin's, that as soon as they brought up Colin, everybody took a bathroom break. All the owners took a bathroom break, which I can imagine they would, probably on advice of counsel.
Sure.
But the fact remains that I specifically asked on Monday, is Colin invited? And they told me, no, he has no role. And then subsequently, they put out, or somebody put out misinformation that, in fact, he had been invited but wasn't there. Well,
so I haven't asked this. I'm assuming the answer has to be yes, but he is still a member of the Players Association.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. Okay. And I think it was Bennett on the Seahawks who said, look, we can have all the social justice discussions we want, but until you deal with the Kaepernick situation, there's never going to be any progress. And that's exactly right. You have to put him back on the field. And to the naysayers, could I get some naysayers on this? It tends to be a polarizing discussion, even though I don't think it should be. But to the naysayers who say he's not that good, he opted out, remember, don't let the facts get in your way of, you know, a tweet, because if you talk to the general manager who talked to Colin, they had a long discussion about it last year, and he suggested that under the new coach, they've got a first-year coach there, that maybe Colin was better off at another place and to opt out, basically.
Listen, unfortunately, we didn't announce that we're recording this from your offices downtown, so I don't have my computer in front of me like I normally do, so I'm not able to look this up, but how big is the fraternity of Super Bowl winning quarterbacks? I mean, you can't say he's not good. You can say that his skills maybe aren't what they were in 2013 or whatever, but you can't say the guy's not good at playing quarterback. That's an asinine statement.
And you can't say that somebody with his skill set, and it's an impressive skill set, at 29. I mean, when Aaron Rodgers went down, do you know there were actually commentators saying, are they going to bring Brett Favre back out at age 48? Seriously. And I'm not denigrating any other quarterback. It's just any reasonable person who follows the NFL, who's actually works for a team. And mind you, I'm talking to people who work for teams as well. They've reached out to me, and as always happens in these cases, and every single one of them will tell you he should be playing.
Yeah, absolutely. So just to put a finer point on it, because I don't think that Ace and I really understood this, when Adam was talking to you about it, he kept alluding to an email from the Grand Poobah down to the owners, but
that would be express collusion. And that's why I sent you the language of the CBA. It's express or implied. Implied can be exactly what Jed York said earlier this week, which is they're scared of having a angry tweet. And mind you, there's also Trump's out there saying the very same thing on March 20th at a campaign rally. He was already president, but it was a rally.
Yeah, it's crazy. I really encourage everyone, and I'll tweet out the link to that article, and I'll have you retweet it. But you should go read that language, because it's really
If you want to be informed on the issue, read it. If you don't want to be informed, then do what you want to do.
Tweet angrily.
Right. Tweet angrily, and that'll be therapy for you. Yeah. Very good therapeutic.
Exactly.
Or a cathartic release. And stay tuned, because this week we may drop in another little bonus discussion.
Absolutely. And stay tuned to the Adam Carolla Show, because we will have Mark calling in to update us on the flagship as well, to make sure people keep hearing about the best hour of the week.
You got it. Thanks, Gary.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. And sorry to the fans. I wish Adam was here, but his schedule didn't permit. There will be a lot less of me next week.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Corolla Digital.